else who has been part of this church for many years and is working in our Judea and Samaria. And I always am thankful when our family comes back to share how God is using them, by extension us, because they're representing us. But I also am praying in advance for who will God will raise up next. Whenever I dedicate children, that's what I'm thinking of. In fact, that's what happened to me when my parents dedicated me to the Lord and to his work. Sometimes we don't know what that will look like when our children grow up. But what better way than for a godly parents to be willing to give their children to the Lord and to his service wherever he calls them. And so I continue to pray, because we have a good heritage to look back at and say, wow, we've been intentional about raising up people on the mission field. But we can't rest on the past. We have to be working today for the missionaries of tomorrow. Today, however, we get to hear from someone who's representing us, and I always look forward to the amazing stories of how God is at work in his life and through his family. And so let's give a warm Trailview welcome to Sean Hermanson.
Good morning, everyone.
Chilliwack, eh? Chilliwack guy's still here. That's awesome. Good to see you. I want to just give a shout out to the sound booth. They really helped me out this morning, and I, by back there, you can see, oh, is this cutting in and out here?
Come on, Verlin. Other one? Is it? Okay. Get to see all the hard work that they do to keep things running, and I came in late with my presentation and had them all scrambling. But then while I was waiting for them to help me out, I noticed they had all these microphone switches for the worship team that was up here. And one of them said Russ Siemens on it, and I noticed it was turned all the way down. So I'm not sure why, but I encouraged him as he went up to sing. Like I said, Russ is my brother-in-law, by the way. I said, Russ, don't screw it up. I don't know, where are you, Russ? Oh, you're still there. I thought you went over there. Anyways, so as Mike, thank you for that nice introduction. My name is Sean Hermanson. My family's here, Aileen and Daniel and Emily. Tristan's on his way. He couldn't make it. He was studying up in Saskatoon, but he'll be here this afternoon for a family Thanksgiving. It's always great to come home to Trailview and to see you all. We have lots of friends here, and it's home. It's been my church home since I was about 14 years old. So I think there's some, yeah, there's pictures going there. Had some nice music to go along with it, but that didn't transfer through, and that's on me. But I just thought pictures are worth 1,000 words, and if I start talking about each one, we'll be here and your turkeys will all burn. But I just want to give you a brief update. In Athletes in Action, Rod Alm is my co-worker and director in Saskatoon, and the two of us are working with 12 different teams at the University of Saskatchewan and the University of Regina. We're doing chapel programs, and we've enlisted an army of volunteers to help us with meals and actually running chapels as well, because we can't be at every team all the time. So I spend about one day a week heading down to Regina to work with the University of Regina Rams football team, as well as the Regina Cougars hockey team. And then Aileen is helping out with the Saskatchewan Huskies women's hockey team. So it's a family event. The kids help out as well, and it's a lot of fun. And I can't see the pictures until I turn around, but as you can see, Emily and I got to go to Africa with an Athletes in Action volleyball tour this spring in May, and it was an amazing time, and Emily really flourished there and grew in her faith and got to see what it's like to be the hands and feet of Jesus and take the gospel to the world. And so we just thank you for your prayers and support, because it is this ministry is having an impact. When we lead chapels, we often ask the guys if they've heard these stories from the Bible, and there is no knowledge. They don't know anything about the Bible. A lot of them have zero background in church, and no reference point. So we're there as an initial contact point to share the gospel, and a lot of them are responding. So thank you for your prayers, because without prayer, that doesn't happen. So I just wanted to highlight JT. He's a young basketball player that I've been working with. He's from California, and last week he was going through a bit of a rough time, and I assumed he was a Christian, a believer, and his dad is a pastor down in California. And when I started sharing the gospel with him, it was completely new to him, and he ended up putting his faith in Jesus with me in the car after we had lunch together, and then came a few days later to chapel. And the basketball chapel is just going amazing. We had 8 guys came on the first one, and I believe that 12 out of the 16 on the team will be coming to chapel this year. So there's a huge number of Christians on that basketball team this year, so it's fantastic. But how are we doing on the pictures, Ramona? Have we been through them all? Okay, so I just want to close in a word of prayer this section and then switch to the message for today. So let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Thanksgiving. We thank you for this opportunity to gather as family and friends. We thank you for our freedoms that we enjoy to worship freely in a safe environment. And we just don't want to take that for granted. Lord, as I bring the message today, Lord, I don't consider myself to be a worthy preacher, but you've given me this opportunity. So I just want to surrender my fears to you and my pride to you and ask that your Holy Spirit speak through your word. And whatever you want me to say, I pray that it will be said. So, Lord, we just ask your presence to be with us. We invite your Holy Spirit to take control. In Jesus' name, amen. I've titled today's message, Worthy is the Lamb That Was Slain. And when I was thinking about Thanksgiving and what are we thankful for, you know, as Mike went around there, there's so many things that we can be thankful for. And we are. And I remember it was about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, Daniel and I were cleaning up in the backyard at night. And all of a sudden, he just had this moment of pondering. And he said, boy, Dad, we're sure blessed to live where we live. We have a nice house. We have a safe street. We have good neighbors. We have all the food we need. And he's listing all these blessings. And I'm like, you're right, Daniel. We are incredibly blessed. And I guess over the years, I've had the opportunity and privilege to travel to many different countries. I think it's about 25 countries now, and seen a lot of things, and a lot of poverty, and a lot of violence, and a lot of lack of the gospel. And when I think of that, I was thinking, yes, I am very thankful and blessed for everything we have here, but what am I the most thankful for? And this phrase has been rolling around in my head, this scripture of worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And I don't know if there's anything in this life that we can be more thankful for than that. And I just want to go into that a little deeper today. So if you have your Bibles with you, we'll be reading Revelation chapter 5. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. We're going to read the whole chapter. So I was trying to look at ways to segment it and shorten it, but there's just too much good stuff there that I didn't want to leave out. So let's read the Word of God. And I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its 7 seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. The word of the Lord. We have this amazing picture of this heavenly encounter that John sees. And when he turns to see who is worthy, expecting to see this line of the tribe of Judah, he sees a lamb looking as if it had been slain. And we just think, Jesus, our worthiness, who is in the midst of the throne and able to approach the throne and take this very scroll from the hand of God, but he came to us as a sacrificed lamb. So I met with a friend earlier in this week, and he's a Hindu by upbringing, but a professing atheist now, and directly from India. And I just thought, I'm going to just try something with him. And so about a week ago, I said, "Deepak, I just want to put something in your head that I can't get out of my head today. And I want you to just think about this, and we'll talk about it tomorrow." And I said, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." And he's like, "What does that mean?" I said, "I'll just leave it with you, and you just think about that. We'll talk about it." And he's like, "I'm going in to Google that." So I said, "Well, maybe don't do that right away. Just let it sit in your heart for a while and see." And, you know, that opened up some amazing conversations with him. Even yesterday when I was showing him, I showed him the video presentation, kind of where I was going with this message. And when I showed him the athletes, and he asked, when he saw the phrase that said JT gave his life to Jesus, he said, "What does that mean?" And so it really opened up a tremendous door of witness. And, you know, he sees that it's real to me, that it's not just words in this old ancient book that he doesn't know about yet, but that there's power there. So this scroll that Jesus takes, the Lamb takes, what is it really representing? And this is just my ideas on it, but I believe it's like it's a title deed. It's God is a just God, and when we fell in the garden and sin entered the world and our realm, Satan took the keys of death and he became the ruler of this world as we know it. And I'll just read in John 12:31. It says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself." So Jesus is identifying Satan as the ruler of this world. But he's already pointing out, if he is lifted up, and the scripture goes on to say, lifted up on the cross, crucified, that he will be the victor. And Jesus referred to Satan as this ruler many times. And you also remember when Jesus was taken out into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days, one of the temptations that we read about was Satan taking him up to a high mountain and showing him all the kingdoms of this earth. And he said, "All these are mine, and I give to whom I wish." And Jesus didn't refute that claim, but he did rebuke the temptation and rebuke the devil for tempting him with that. Revelation 1:18, Jesus says, "I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." Jesus took the keys. He is victorious. On the cross, he said, it is finished. He was worthy. He goes on to say in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that's our thanksgiving. He has overcome. We're not promised easy lives as Christians. Our brothers and sisters around the world are enduring horrific things for the name of Jesus. We haven't had to face that yet. Last week, at our Athletes in Action weekly meeting, we have a meeting on campus every Monday night, and where we have a co-ed and all sports gather. We have about 25 athletes joining us, and we ask them this question: which is your best church memory? And we said, if you don't have a positive church memory, what's maybe something negative? And almost everyone shared a positive experience. And so it got me thinking, what is my best church memory or experience? And I encourage you all to think about that today too. So for me, right away, there was one story popped into my head, and I shared it with you last year. I won't go into it today, but seeing a blind man that we prayed for in Paraguay receive his sight. That was pretty amazing. And but then after I started preparing for this sermon today, I realized, you know what? That's not my biggest, fondest church memory. And I'll probably cry when I start telling this part, but my best memory here was right in that baptism tank. And not just my best memory here, but my best memory as a Christian. And I'll never forget standing behind the wall there, looking down the stairs into the water, and hearing the song come on from the front, the worship team singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." So I was bawling like a baby before I even came into view. Needless to say, that had been a very special song to me throughout my journey. And many of you have heard my story in great detail. If you were here that day, you heard it in the baptism tank. It was probably one of the longest services in the history of Trailview, but it was special to us, so thank you for being there. And so it was not just me, but my whole family was baptized at the same time on Father's Day. And just to give you a little bit of a background leading up to that baptism, I want to just share a harsh scripture with you. It's in Hebrews 10:26-29. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? I was saved by grace. I had been raised in a loving Christian family, had all the opportunity to live out a Christian walk and in every way, but we all go on a different journey, and for me, I walked away from my faith. It was very gradual at first in my late teens, but it escalated into a large pit of sin and despair and pulled me down. I won't get into it in detail today, but I was living anything but a Christian life. But thank you to a praying mother, grandmother, wife, church, many prayers. I believe in prayer. And by the grace of God, I was brought to my knees and let go of this pride and rebellion and saw the truth through the word, the truth that Jesus is who he says he was and that he is worthy. And with this revelation came repentance and falling to my face and repenting of my sins and giving everything to Jesus in every way and really meaning it with all of my heart. So John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We hear this all our lives as Christians. Do we really grasp what it means? Are we wearing the title of Christian but not being born again? Jesus says, goes on to say, "Therefore, by your fruits you shall know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" The fruit of my life during that time was so evident, but I could be very comfortable singing the hymns, praying the prayers, saying the right words, and depending on whatever circle I was in, it was a cultural norm for me. But you could know me by my fruit. "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." In our work with the athletes, we don't see death often at their age and their health, but it does happen. And we are all too aware of the Humboldt tragedy in April. And they have a chaplain as well. We all got to know very well through the media, and fantastic man of God, and so obedient and so humble, Sean Brando. And the title of their last chapel before that bus trip was titled "Your Last Breath." A few years ago, Tristan played for Humboldt, and he that was his coach and many of his teammates on that bus. And he's a very quiet young man, so I asked him, I said, "Tristan, how are you doing with all this?" And he was going to Briarcrest at this time by now, and he just said, "Well, my biggest regret is that while I was playing in Humboldt, I wasn't living out my faith. So I never told my teammates about Jesus." And I said, "Well, Tristan, all you do is ask Jesus to forgive you and vow not to do it again by his grace. And just go in confidence that they had a Christian coach and a chaplain that were telling them about Jesus." So they heard. So we need to believe. Sorry. We need to believe this. That Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." We're going to encounter opposition, but we can't apologize for the Word of God. And I encounter this opposition all the time, especially overseas. We're working with a lot of Muslim athletes and students, atheists on campuses. The humanism is rampant, and I will never back down from this verse. You saw the picture of Isu, the volleyball president in Ivory Coast. And as we had supper together, he started sharing. And I said, "Well, Isu, I didn't realize you were a Christian." He said, "Oh, no, I'm not. I'm Muslim." And I said, "Oh, well, I'm surprised to hear you talking about, like, thanking me for telling the students about Jesus." And he said, "Well, we all worship the same God." And I paused, and it was this, I was praying silently, furiously and fast for wisdom. And I said, "Well, Isu, I have to humbly disagree. And here's why." And I shared this verse with him, and I said, "My knowledge of Islam is that you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Word, became flesh, that he is the worthy Lamb, that he is the only way, the only provision for our sins." I said, "So if you don't accept that, you cannot say that we're worshiping the same God. And this Jesus that I tell you about, he is alive." And Mike shared the scripture where that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in us as believers. And he was very intrigued as I continued to tell him the story that this blind man was healed in Paraguay by the power of Jesus' name. And I said, "There is no other name under heaven where I could have prayed for this man and anything would have happened. It's only Jesus." And he was struck to the heart, and he started confessing. He said, you know, my wife is a Christian, and my grandmother is a Christian. And I was raised Muslim by my father in Senegal, and it was just easier to just accept that. So he was really thinking about what it really meant, and I said, well, you can rest assured that I know your wife and your grandmother are praying, and it's making a difference. Another sentence that's been on my heart all summer, and I couldn't get it out of my mind. I didn't know the reference until I Googled it. It was Hosea 4:6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. As I alluded to the athletes, most of them don't know anything. But they're not afraid of the Bible. You can sit in the middle of a coffee shop in the middle of campus and ask them if you can share a verse from your Bible, and they're like, oh, absolutely, why would I mind that? So we often will just have the Bible out on coffee shop tables, and I've seen the power of God just convict them many times, bringing them to tears. So those are the two things I hold on to, the power of God's word and the power in Jesus' name. And Jesus said in John 15, unless you abide in me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So we have to abide in Jesus. We have to tell people about Jesus. We have to tell them about this worthy Lamb. A few years ago, we were in Norway visiting Elin's family, and we were at her sister's cabin, and we were at a series of lakes between Norway and Sweden, and there was these, you know, the lock system where you sail in and it raises the boat and you sail to the next level. And I was watching this water pour in, and as the water was filling up the next lock, these huge steel gates were closing, and I'm just watching right above them, fascinated by this, and the water pressure is increasing, and this massive force of water is gushing through, much like the picture here. And all of a sudden, with a tremendous earth-shaking boom, those gates closed tight. And I just... the doors of grace are closing. I was praying... in my bed last night. Honestly, I didn't know what to say today. And it just hit me, Jesus, you're coming soon. You're coming soon. He's coming soon. And there's a lot of people not ready. There's a lot of people in this church, maybe, that aren't ready. Don't wear the title of Christian. Examine your heart. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I've done things that none of you would even think about doing. And only by God's grace am I here and forgiven. And I am joyful of that. But it is an anguish. Because I see daily everyone passing me by on campus, and they don't know Jesus. And I see churches filled with people that don't know this power that they have if they surrender everything. So if those doors of grace are closing, who are they closing on? Is it you? Is it your family? Your friends? And then what are we going to do about that? It's not just up to the missionaries. It's not just up to Pastor Mike. It's not just up to TV evangelists. Wherever your sphere of influence is, that's where you share the gospel. And we're going to be called to account of that someday. James 5 is a powerful verse, chapter. It says, woe to you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. You have fat in your hearts as in a day of slaughter. And I don't know, I was thinking about that the other day, and I'm like, we are so saturated with the gospel here. We're so saturated with the church, and we hide it under a bushel. We don't walk around in this power. I can bet that the prayer room, and I'm not singling out Trailview, please forgive me if you think I'm coming down on Trailview. I'm coming down on Western Christianity because I see it everywhere. And I go to Africa and I see the churches lasting for 5 hours with joyful Christians praising Jesus at the top of their lungs and casting out demons and healing the sick. And I want that power for us here, and it's promised to us. We're not stepping into it. In conclusion, I just want to remind you, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. If that doesn't resonate with you, just pray that all week. Because I can tell you that it stirred me up this week. I was feeling pretty lifeless and dead for the last month. Missionary work can become pretty mundane. You become a professional Christian, not always working out of your heart. You can ask Aileen how many times I've told her this last 2 months that I'm quitting. But this has stirred me. Worthy is the Lamb. We must be born again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I can talk about my shameful past because while I'm not proud of it, I know I'm a new creation in Jesus. We have to be obedient. Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, you will obey my commands and be thankful. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Your testimony of Jesus is powerful. Revelation 12, it says, they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We're entering the last days. We're in the last days. Do not be ashamed of this worthy Lamb. Proclaim him everywhere you go. If you don't know him, seek him. Find him today. Don't wait until tomorrow. Today may be your last breath. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone here. I just pray in Jesus' name that your blessing would go upon them and peace be with them. I pray that you would open the hearts of those that don't know you, that you would give them your grace to repent of any sins and turn to you with all their hearts. I pray, Jesus, that you would use us all to be a light to this community and to the world around us, and that we won't hold on to this joyous salvation. Lord, you say in Revelation, if you are lukewarm, not hot or cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So I pray that you would, just by your grace, allow us to be hot or cold for you, Lord. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.